Random House Audio presents The Good Body by Eve Ensler. This is the author. In the midst of a war in Iraq, in a time of escalating global terrorism, when civil liberties are disappearing as fast as the ozone layer, when one out of three women in the world will be beaten or raped in her lifetime, why write a play about my stomach? Maybe because my stomach is one thing I feel like I have control over, or maybe because I have hope that my stomach is something I could get control over. Maybe because I see how my stomach has come to occupy my attention, and I see how other women's stomachs or butts or thighs or hair or skin have come to occupy their attention, and so that we have very little left for the war in Iraq or much else for that matter. When a group of ethnically diverse, economically disadvantaged women in the U.S. was recently asked about the one thing they would change in their lives if they could, the majority of these women said, lose weight. Maybe I identify with these women because I have bought into this idea that if my stomach were flat, then I would be good and I would be safe. I would be protected. I would be accepted, admired, important, loved. Maybe because for most of my life I have felt wrong, dirty, guilty, and bad, and that my stomach is the carrier, the pouch for all that self-hatred. Maybe because my stomach has become the repository for my sorrow, childhood scars, unfulfilled ambition, unexpressed rage. Like a toxic dump, it is where the explosive trajectories collide. The Judeo-Christian imperative to be good, the patriarchal mandate that women be quiet, be less, the consumer state imperative to be better, which is based on the assumption that you are born wrong and bad, and that always involves spending money. Lots of money. Maybe because as the world rapidly divides into fundamentalist camps, reductive soundbites, and polarizing platitudes, an exploration of my stomach and the life therein has the potential to shatter these dangerous constraints. This journey has been different from the vagina monologues. I was worried about vaginas when I began that play. I was worried about the shame associated with vaginas, and I was worried about what was happening to them in the dark. As I talked about vaginas and two vaginas, I became even more worried about the onslaught of violence done to women and their vaginas around the world. There was, of course, the great celebration of vaginas as well. Pleasure, discovery, sex, moans, power. I suppose I had this fantasy that after finally coming home into my vagina, I could relax, get on with it. This was not the case. The deadly self-hatred simply moved into another part of my body. The good body began with me and my particular obsession with my imperfect stomach. I have charted this self-hatred, recorded it, tried to follow it back to its source. Here, unlike the women in the vagina monologues, I am my own victim, my own perpetrator. Of course, the tools have been made readily available. The pattern of the perfect body has been programmed into me since birth. But whatever the cultural influences and pressures, I see how my preoccupation with my flab, my constant dieting, exercising, worrying, is self-imposed. I pick up the magazines. I buy into the ideal. I believe that blonde flat girls have the secret. What is far more frightening than narcissism is the zeal for self-mutilation, which is spreading, infecting the world. I've been to over 40 countries in the last 6 years. I've seen the rampant and insidious poisoning, lightning skin creams selling as fast as toothpaste in Africa and Asia, the mothers of 8-year-olds in America removing their daughter's ribs so they'll not have to worry about dieting, 5-year-olds doing strict asanas in Manhattan yoga classes so they'll not be chubby and embarrass their parents in public, girls vomiting and starving themselves in China and Fiji and everywhere, Korean women removing Asia from their eyelids, the list goes on and on. I have been in dialogue with my stomach for the past 3 years. I have entered my belly, the dark, wet underworld, to get at the secrets there. I have talked with women in surgical centers in Beverly Hills, on the sensual beaches of Rio de Janeiro, in the gyms of Mumbai, New York, Moscow, in the hectic and crowded beauty salons in Istanbul, South Africa, and Rome. Except for a rare few, most women I met loathed at least one part of their body. There was always one part that they longed to change, that they had a medicine cabinet full of products devoted to transforming or hiding or reducing or straightening or lightening. Just about every woman believed that if she could just get that part right, everything else would work out. Of course, it is an endless, heartbreaking campaign. Some of the stories in The Good Body are based on well-known women like Helen Gurley Brown and Isabella Rossellini. Those monologues grew out of a series of conversations with each of these fascinating women. These are not recorded interviews, but interpretations of the lives they offered me. Some of the other characters are based on real lives, real stories, but many are invented. This play is my prayer, my attempt to analyze the mechanisms of our imprisonment and to break free, so that we may spend more time running the world than running away from it, so that we may become good in the true sense of good, that we may think of someone other than ourselves, that we may be consumed by the sorrow of the world rather than consuming to avoid that sorrow and suffering. This play is an expression of my hope, my desire, that we will all refuse to be Barbie, that we will say no to the loss of the particular, whether it be to a voluptuous woman in a silk sari, or a woman with defining lines of character in her face, or a distinguishing nose, or olive-toned skin, or wild, curly hair. I am stepping off the capitalist treadmill. I'm going to take a deep breath and find a way to survive not being flat or perfect. I am inviting you to join me, to stop trying to be anything, anyone other than who you are. I was moved by women in Africa who live close to the earth and didn't understand what it meant not to love their body. I was lifted by older women in India who celebrated their roundness. I was inspired by Marianne Woodman, the great Jungian analyst, who gave me confidence to trust what I know. She has said that instead of transcending ourselves, we must move into ourselves. Tell the image makers and magazine sellers and the plastic surgeons that you are not afraid, that what you fear the most is the death of imagination and originality and metaphor and passion. Then be bold and love your body. Stop fixing it. It was never broken. When I was a little girl, people used to ask me, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" "Good," I would say. "I want to be good." Becoming good was harder than becoming a doctor or an astronaut or a lifeguard. There are tests to pass to become those things. You have to learn dissection or gravity or how to tread water. Becoming good was not like that. It was abstract. It felt completely out of reach. It became the only thing that mattered to me. If I could be good, everything would have been all right. I would fit in. I would be popular. I would skip death and go straight to heaven. If you ask me now what this means to be good, I still don't know exactly. When I was growing up in the 50s, good was simply what girls were supposed to do. They were good. They were pretty, perky. They had a blonde Clairol wave in their hair. They wore girdles and waist pinchers and pumps. They got married. They looked married. They waited to be given permission. They kept their legs together, even during sex. In recent years, good girls join the army. They climb the corporate ladder. They go to the gym. They accessorize. They wear pointy, painful shoes. They wear lipstick if they're lesbians. They wear lipstick if they're not. They don't eat too much. They don't eat at all. They stay perfect. They stay thin. I could never be good. This feeling of badness lives in every part of my being, called anxiety, despair, guilt, or shame. It occupies me everywhere. The older, seemingly clearer and wiser I get, the more devious, globalized, and terrorist the badness becomes.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?